I'm wondering who it might be to replace Caleb McGarry if he needs to miss time. That's two nights in a row, Oren. I hit you with one of those.
Look at that.
We're on a roll here. Unfortunately, the Atlanta Falcons may not be on a roll with the news that Caleb McGarry was carted off the field at practice today. We're awaiting results of an MRI to discuss that and everything going on in the National Football League. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in one of our favorites, Cynthia Freeland. You catch her all over NFL Network. Cynthia, let's start here in Atlanta. Not good news when your right tackle, who is essentially your left tackle because your quarterback's a lefty, gets carted off in practice. In your opinion, how big of a blow would that be if they lose him for a significant period of time?
Well, you know I'm a big O-line person, so I'm never going to say that it's going to be okay. I will say that at least before the 53 is set, you know, if there was a time for this to happen, like, let's have it happen before you have to get to 53. Like, if something bad does happen so that you at least have a chance to figure something out, it's never good. You know, it's never good.
Are you in the camp of Michael Penix Jr. is going to be a stud star right away, or do you think it's going to take some time for him to develop with only three starts under his belt?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like right away is such a, like, it's a mean thing to do to a young man that did nothing but, like, surpass expectations when he did start last season. I love that people are so excited to be like, he's going to pick up right where he left off. It's going to be no problem. Everything's going to be great. This is the NFL. It is hard. It's never easy. I know that the Falcons were in contention right till the end. However, it's always, you know, it almost felt like you were playing with house money. And in this case, now you're the starter. Things are designed for you. You lose a big part, potentially, of your offensive line. And even though you still have Bijan, even though you still have all these great other pieces, it could probably take a minute for everything to come together. Like, I expect the team to be fully, you know, October, we'll start to see who they really are. I think September will be still kind of experimenting, getting to feel it all out and adjusting to NFL speed. Let's be nice to him. Let's not force him to be, you know, the league MVP from week one.
All right, Atlanta, you hear that? Let's be nice to Michael Penix Jr.
I know it's like I'm like a boring person saying that, but it, you know, I just like let him have a moment to adjust. The speed is way different.
Yeah, I mean, no, listen, Cynthia, here it's full go, full send on Michael Penix Jr. So we're holding out hope. Another guy that we're holding out hope for, what do you think? A full season with Penix throwing him the ball, can this finally be the year Kyle Pitts gets back to what we saw as a rookie?
I think it's just such a funny question. But Kyle Pitts' value will never be what fantasy football players want or expected it to be coming out of college, whenever like, this is the second coming of whatever. You know, like, I think that Kyle Pitts' value to the team will be there. And you know, there's also things called blocking. Hey, that helps. You know, not great for your fantasy team, but it's really great for your actual team. So while I don't necessarily see Kyle Pitts lighting up the fantasy scoreboards from that stat line perspective, I do think his value will be even greater this season, not just with Penix, but also, you know, having a little bit more, like, you know, the same sort of system, same sort of, you know, Penix is a different style quarterback than Kirk Cousins was. So it's just a different, you know, the game plan will be different. Now he's fully integrated in it from the install, from the standpoint of this is how we're going to do things. I think that it will look a lot better, even if the fantasy football fans are going to get mad.
Yeah, and I think that's just been the tough pill to swallow. Like, if you're going to draft him in the eighth round as a flyer, that's your own fault. Buyer beware. Speaking of replicating performances, without Tristan Wirfs, can Baker Mayfield do what he did last year, this year?
I mean, let's also say without Liam Cohen, and I understand this will now be his second offensive coordinator, and he's had many different stops along the way in his NFL journey, so it'll be different. But, you know, Josh Bazaar comes from Miami, where they played a totally different style, and he was there even like Adam Gase days. Like, he just has a different style. Well, now, I think Baker can do great in large part because Bucky Irving's really good. And also, you know, pretty darn good receiving core that they've got there, especially with the addition they were able to make of Emeka Egbuka in the draft, which, you know, that sounds pretty good. I'd like to throw to those guys if I were a quarterback. But I think it might look a little bit different. I think the principles might be a bit, they have to figure out how that rhythm and flow changes. I'm never going to tell you that losing a big part of your offensive line is going to make your team better. It just, it won't. Fact, full stop. But I do think that the opportunity to have that kind of like wide receiving core maybe gets underestimated by the national media.
Are you, speaking of the national media, are you buying all this Jackson Dart hype?
I mean, it's fun, I guess. I don't know. Like, look at their schedule. It's a total freaking nightmare. Like, I look at that schedule, I'm like, you're a fourth place team. That is the meanest schedule I've ever seen. They have a whole stretch of 2 months, essentially 2 months from the middle of October to the middle of December, where the Giants have exactly two home games, one against the Eagles and the other against the Niners. That's going to be hard no matter who. So I think we do see him play because I think their schedule is going to dictate that some changes will likely need to be made. It's just such a hard schedule that I just think we see that happen. But I don't think, you know, I hope he's good. I actually want most teams to be good. Right? Like, I want every team to be good. I want most games to be like, wow, like it's a nail biter. Like, the more better games we get, the better we are as fans.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, we get one week, you know, every single Sunday at 4:10, it's, you know, Jags Titans, and we all just collectively yawn. And if there's the less of those, the better, to your point. Speaking of the Niners, are you expecting a full bounce back season from them?
You know, I was, and I do think that they end up with a double digit win total at the end of the season. However, I was there for, I'm doing sideline with the Broncos this preseason, and I got a chance to see them firsthand. They're just so banged up. I don't know if they're going to be able to roster the team that they're expecting. I expect them to be good. And Christian McCaffrey looks good. You know, all these things, Fred Warner will be back. Exactly. You know, it's always better when the good players are playing. However, you know, you keep seeing like, is Juwan Jennings okay? I don't know. Like, it's going to be a lot of Ricky Pearsall. Is that going to be enough? And even though they get an easier schedule, relatively speaking, especially because, you know, again, they get the fourth place schedule in the West, like, that's very advantageous for them. It's going to be a slog if their injuries don't get even a little bit, but they're a little broken, like, injury-wise.
Speaking of injuries, are you buying Stafford to stay upright?
I want to. I think Matthew Stafford is the most underrated NFL quarterback, maybe of all time. Like, I feel like for a guy who went number one and then like had behind maybe the worst O-line in football at the Lions and then finally got a chance to have, it's a good story. But even though he won a Super Bowl, it's like people don't like talk about him among the best. And I think that's totally wrong. I think Matthew Stafford is tough. I think I've watched him play with a broken collarbone, like crazy stuff. However, this feels like something that's a little more serious than maybe maybe Sean McVay's being hopeful. I don't think he's lying to us, but like hopeful because, you know, I don't know about anything to do with your spine and discs and backs when you've been hit as much as him and you're not the youngest quarterback out there makes me a little fearful for sure.
Talking all things NFL with our good friend Cynthia Freeland. Make sure you check her out all over NFL Network. Who do you think wins the quarterback swap of the offseason, Geno Smith with the Raiders or Sam Darnold in Seattle?
Like, okay, so the win number to me, is it wins more games or has a more interesting offense? Because unfortunately, Geno Smith cannot fix the Raiders secondary. And as much as he can throw, and I think that's a great fit, I actually think their offense, you know, I keep talking about fantasy because I've been doing a lot of prep for Fantasy Live. That's going to be a high-octane offense. You're going to want lots of pieces of it. I think they have a lot of fun things going on there. I think Chip Kelly's going to mastermind that really well. However, I think that the Seahawks will win significantly more games. And I don't think Sam's going to be bad. I just don't think it's going to be it's not going to be like last year where like, holy crap, Sam Darnold, like, he's worth a giant contract. I think he's going to be pretty good, like good enough. Like, I don't think he doesn't need to blow the socks off of anyone, but I think he's going to perform to a pretty good. And that's, I don't think that's being mean. I think that's being very fair.
Ashton Jeanty, top 10 running back in fantasy?
Oh yeah. I mean, 8, 7, like I'm not going to put him in the top 5, but he's definitely, you know, somewhere between 6 and 10.
Are you in the camp that, Saquon Barkley is going to have his workload reduced enough to the point where Bijan Robinson should go number one?
I did think that until this Caleb McGarry situation. Now, there's a way of thinking about it where you could think maybe more passes go to him or shorter pass, maybe. I do think Saquon's pure, you know, workload will be, he played like a ridiculous amount of snaps, like 330 or something like that snaps last season. It just feels like if you're in a division where, like, if you're winning games now, you know, why would you not? They added to the running back position this offseason. Why would you not be a little smarter about that? Because this team seems very well poised to make a deep playoff run again. So let's be smart about it. Like, I get it. 2,000 yards. It's fun. We got it. You know, you want to break records. But I also think there's something to be said for, you know, luck about injuries going into the playoffs is not something to mess with. Like, you go out there and you roll the dice enough, you're, you know, something not advantageous is going to happen.
How much are you a believer or not in the struggles that we've seen from the Bengals, particularly on defense, is going to translate to the regular season?
I do not think that they're in a good spot. They already gave up 25.5 points per game last season. They fired Lou Anarumo, who it wasn't Lou's fault. You know, you don't give any resources to that side of the ball, and you expect people to perform. And then you have with the Trey Hendrickson situation, the man led the leagues in sacks last season. He was your defense. I love Shamar Stewart. He was a great pick in the draft, but you mean to tell me that you're going to put that much on a rookie without help? Like, it just feels like it's messy. I hope it gets done. Like I said, I want to see more of the good players on the field and people being able to play. But I mean, this offense is great. How much more are you going to ask Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase to have to do? They connected on 17 touchdowns last season. Like, how, like, I'm sorry, what else could they, how much more do they have to do?
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. So how do you think that division shakes out? Is it Lamar and company of full steam ahead of Pittsburgh and Cincinnati?
Yeah, I think the Ravens are in great striking distance. In fact, you know, I really think that this could be a season where, you know, we always talk about Lamar Jackson, playoffs. Lamar, you know, there's always a question mark there. If they can get some of these wins, starting with this first one in Buffalo week one, that could change the cadence of a lot of things this season. Because if you close your eyes and you really think about the AFC teams, I know we're all very NFC centric. If you're a Falcons fan, you think about the NFC a lot, but think about the AFC. Like, it, if you look at the schedules, it's not a ton of teams that are real. Like, you're like, who are Super Bowl contenders? It's like Chiefs, of course, the Bills, of course, the Ravens, of course, maybe the Broncos. And then you're a little miffed after that. So perhaps this is the season where we see, you know, Lamar Jackson take that playoff step forward.
Before I let you go, are you a believer in a Travis Kelce comeback season?
Again, what's comeback? Like, I don't want Travis Kelce to have to catch the type of touchdowns and passes that he had to in seasons past. I want them to have, like, some of these younger players who they're asking, you know, they're developing and they're asking a lot of to help out. Like, I want the run game to be better so I don't see Patrick Mahomes get clobbered. I want, you know, I want a few things where it's, like, I want Travis Kelce to, I don't think he was bad last season. So to me, the comeback is like, for fantasy, I don't care. Like, I just want him to be out there and healthy. And if it's a block, you know what? That's just as valuable for that team as, again, not for your fantasy team, but just very valuable for that team as opposed to, you know, looking fancy for everything else.
Well, with that said, a little bonus question there. What about Mahomes? He obviously didn't have the gaudy stats last year, but they made it to another Super Bowl.
I think this is a Mahomes bounce back from a, you know, his stat line point of view. I think, you know, we've seen, there's always every season, if you go back since the beginning of the Mahomes era, you have some weird stat. Like, 2 years ago, it was like they were often in these, like, 3rd and 17, and they were far more efficient on, like, 3rd and long than they were on 3rd and short, which is hilarious. Like, just it's a weird thing that happens. You always get a weird Mahomes stat, and then the next season, it's always another weird Mahomes stat. And last season, it was the passing yards in those close one possession games, things like that. This year, I think that they, you know, figure out the pass game a little bit differently so that they can hopefully run to end the game, like the way Andy Reid rather want to play football, given his history, what we know about him, and the way all coaches always want to do it like that.
Cynthia, appreciate it. As always, we'll be checking you out on NFL Network. As always, we'll chat soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You guys have a great one.
All right, that is Cynthia Freeland there of NFL Network. When we get back, you guys know Eastlake starts tomorrow? You guys ready? We'll be there. Dukes and Bell will be there. Andy and Randy will be there. One of the best in the golf biz, Bob Herrig, stopped by Dukes and Bell. You'll hear that conversation coming up next. A full Eastlake primer on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. Braves are up 1-0 in the bottom of the fifth, but I do see some storming outside. Some lightning and thunder. Will keep you posted if that impacts tonight's matchup at all. We will have the Atlanta baseball postgame show starting at 10 o'clock as well. Your chance to call in on the Braves at 404-726-0929. Let's keep the NFL conversation going. Our buddy Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports, senior writer there, joined the morning shift today. And the first thing the guys were asking him about was, who did you see so far in preseason that's caught your eye in terms of teams that could be above the rest?
Well, Giants did name Daniel Jones starting quarterback. You never know. Sky's the limit, right? Yeah, no. Sorry, I had to get my Colts joke in this morning. I guess that, you know, there's been a little bit of trade activity so far. We've seen some kind of minor deals. My question is, do we see a major one? Does anything significant happen on the level of, you know, Khalil Mack getting traded 6-7 years ago to Chicago in a late August, early September deal? You know, Trey Hendrickson has been floating out there in the wind for, it seems like, a few months now. Micah Parsons, it feels like Dallas isn't going to trade him, but you never know. If anything, this Terry McLaurin thing, I think, is rounding towards a resolution happening at some point. But, you know, there's some people out there that are looking for new contracts and aren't happy about it. I'm wondering if any of those lead to a seismic trade, the likes of which we didn't really get this offseason. We thought maybe Myles Garrett and some other guys. But, yeah, I guess that's where my focus is right now.
So, Eric, we were talking about some of your coworkers this morning and some predictions.
Going to put you
in
spot.
Don't get me in trouble now. Don't get me in trouble. Go ahead.
Well, so Adam Rank is the one I want to focus on. Is your office near his?
Well, he's a Chicago guy, too. So, like, you know, I can get a message to him pretty quickly.
Yeah. Okay. So he ranked the Falcons for the 2025 season. He has them finishing 6-11. We all kind of raised our eyebrows at that. Like, what's your thinking on this season with the Falcons?
I thought you were going to ask me about Adam Rank. Oh, boy, let me get started here.
I'll do that to you. Not today.
Yeah, no. Believe me, you're not the first person to call Adam out. I think he quietly kind of likes it. I don't know. You know, they're a fascinating team to me, right? Obviously, kind of feels like they were sort of in this position when Desmond Ridder had a few starts, you know, a few years ago at the end of the season, although there's clearly much more excitement for Penix right now, much more invested in him. You know, the Cousins situation. Look, I'll say this. It was awkward at one point, but nobody's talking about it anymore, and it hasn't been a distraction. You know, they've done a good job of keeping that as a side plot, something that isn't going to affect the course of the season. I think defensively is really where you want to see the big gains, and obviously you spend four semi-premium or premium draft picks on that side of the ball. You want some returns. You want to see better depth. You want to see more consistency. The run game's obviously going to be there. I think they have the offensive line and the skill guys to find themselves in the top half of the league offensively. But are they better than the Bucs? I don't know. I would say no, not right now until proven otherwise. I think they're better than the Panthers. I think they can kind of get a foothold in that division. Can they crank it up to that next level? I sort of have them more in that 8-9 win range, maybe a little higher, but maybe a little lower.
Well, Eric, you know, you talk about some of the guys we have. Let's talk about Drake London real quick, because I'm curious how he's viewed. Look, I'm with the team. I work with the radio network for the team. I travel the team, so I'm obviously a complete homer for my guys. But how do you guys view him as an – because to me, I think he's the best 50-50 ball guy in the league, and I think he's a top 10 receiver based on what he's done here with, you know, some questionable quarterback play. But how is he viewed nationally?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think – I don't know that people are quite ready to put him in that top 10 yet, but with a big season, I think they'd be open to it. You know, you're right. I think there are some times when Atlanta players don't get quite the national spec, you know, a sort of showcase sort of stage that other people do. But I think in this case, people recognize that he is this extremely long, extremely athletic, extremely gifted guy who, like you said, has been in a situation that hasn't always been ideal. Not terrible. I don't think you can go that far, but I think you could say you know, hasn't been able to kind of tap into his ability. But the fantasy football folks certainly know who he is. You know, I think people who have a little bit more league-wide knowledge understand maybe he's not on that Justin Jefferson level. Maybe he's not on that Ja'Marr Chase level. But clear-cut number one, to me, I think it's pretty obvious.
Hanging out with the writer for NFL.com, that's Eric Edholm. Eric, I want to talk a little bit more. You mentioned the draft picks we have defensively, and I'm kind of – look, Jalen Walker's been dinged up. We haven't seen much of him, but we're really excited here about James Pierce. And look, last week we got a chance to see Cam Ward out in Flowery Branch at the crossover practices. We're kind of keeping our eye on Emeka Egbuka down there in Tampa that the Falcons will square off with in week one. Just a broad-ranging topic here, impact rookies. I mean – is there anybody that stands out to you in terms of rookies that really are going to take the NFL by storm this year?
Yeah. No, I can see, you know, those guys you mentioned. Egbuka, I think, is going to get a lot of sentiment. Obviously, you watch Travion Henderson in the preseason. Maybe, you know, he won't get quite the workload that a star rookie back can get, but Ashton Jeanty might. You know, Cam Ward, I think, is obviously going to be one of the key guys, and Travis Hunter will get, you know, sentiment no matter what he does, I think, almost. You know, so there's, you know, the two-way thing is so fascinating to people that certainly he'll be on that radar. Abdul Carter in New York is getting a lot of buzz for good reason. But, yeah, no, I mean, I think James Pierce is going to end up being one of the most impactful picks, negatively or positively, for this franchise based on how they, you know, the price they paid to get him. You know, the talent is not the issue. It was obvious in college this guy is a freaky player. He's got traits that every coach is looking for, every scout is looking for. The focus wasn't always there in college, a little bit of attention to detail, maturity, things like that. You know, you heard people in the program talk about him in a way like they liked him, but they wanted more out of him. They wanted to see a little bit more. And it sounds like he's putting his best foot forward so far in camp, and I'm excited for him. You know, I love when players either, you know, prove me wrong, so to speak, where I have some stuff in their scouting report that says, look, there's some risk here. That's the best thing you can ask for. And especially when Walker hasn't really been out there and hasn't done much to this point, it's great that he's kind of filled that void.
Eric, I know that Cam Hayward kind of returned to practice, but, you know, this contract situation with him is interesting. He's still an all-pro caliber player, but he is an older player. How does this thing kind of play out? What's the scuttlebutt on that?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to go very far. I mean, you're right, he's 35. He's just, you know, he's a good soldier. He's obviously watched as T.J. Watt got his $40 million deal this year, and I think – you know, the thing about Cam Hayward is that, you know, he does have a box score quality to him. He's always filling up the stat sheet with forced fumbles, tackles, sacks, things like that. But he also has a quality beyond that that isn't necessarily measured. And, you know, when the Steelers are shorthanded and he's having to play more inside or fill other gaps and, you know, kind of move around depending on what the defense needs, you know, and the leadership quotient too, he certainly feels like he's underpaid and wants to, you know, get what he's worth after the season focus has been, the offseason focus has been on Watt and Rodgers and things like that and the receivers. I suspect everything will be all right. It doesn't sound like there's a whole lot of drama there, at least the way I'm reading it. But, yeah, I mean, this has kind of been the season of those sorts of hold-ins, if you will, and we've seen a lot of them around the league.
Eric, while we're on that topic, the Falcons will – get on a plane tomorrow and head off to a place that can kind of be a three-ring circus this time of year. That's Dallas. They're going to face the Cowboys on Friday night. What's the latest on the mic? We actually played some Adam Schefter earlier, and he's like, I think this is headed for a divorce. I think I would be shocked if that's the case. What's your feeling on that?
Yeah, I mean, it felt like yesterday, you know, I've been kind of given the same spiel, like, well, they haven't heard much. You know, I don't know. We're kind of all waiting to hear. But in the last 48 hours, maybe it's agent driven, maybe it's kind of more, you know, we're in need of some storylines. People are drumming up some old things a little bit, but it did feel like it kind of shifted a little bit to the point where maybe a trade isn't as wild as we think. And I mean, I just can't imagine the reaction. Can you guys, obviously for you guys, right? I mean, like, hours of radio you can spend on Jerry Jones in the middle of Greenland and probably get decent ratings, you know. But it's true, man. I mean, that the propaganda pieces out on them, you know, the look back at the old champion Cowboys of yore, all this drama swirling up. The Eagles are coming off a championship. Commanders are coming off their best season in two decades. You know, everything's kind of pointing down at the Cowboys right now. And I think a Parsons trade would be the ultimate kind of, you know, finish him off, right? Drive him through with the stake and end their misery kind of thing. But we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, maybe Brian Schottenheimer's got, you know, I mean, 2 years ago, Dak Prescott was the MVP runner-up under his watch. So let's not forget, they still have some talent there.
Well, maybe Dallas can just start, you know, claiming national titles like Auburn did, or Super
right.
Bowls like Auburn did, and that'll
even
work
more,
out for them.
Eight more, whatever they got now, yeah.
Yeah, just
exciting.
Start,
happy
just
for
start,
them.
Just start claiming them. Look, down in New Orleans, the city that we, a team we hate, and the Saints, they apparently are kind of still, we're going into week three with a quarterback competition between Tyler Shuck and Spencer Rattler.
Yeah.
Is that a good, that's a bad sign for New Orleans, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's not a good thing. I mean, in the sense that it wasn't that attractive to begin with, right? I mean, there was only so much you could really talk yourself into with that battle. Like, all right, well, I guess we're getting the best of one of these two guys. Now, look, Spencer Rattler, I felt like got unfairly beaten up a little bit. I think he's an NFL quarterback, and I think he's going to win that job initially. The question then becomes, how long does it keep it? Because to me, you don't spend a second-round pick on an older quarterback, 26, right, if you don't have some plans to play him. So kind of feels like Rattler will be in the caretaker position until they can get Shuck ready. I don't think he's far off, but you've seen some wild swings in his play so far this preseason. Small sample size, but you throw in everything we've heard from practice, it sounds like he just hasn't quite won him over yet, you know. So, yeah, they're going to be one of the worst five teams in football this year, I suspect. So, good for Atlanta, good for the people who hate the Saints. I don't think they have a whole lot to look forward to, especially after Tyrann Mathieu retired. And, you know, this offseason's been a little bit on the ugly side.
Yeah. I don't
love
think
hearing
not,
that.
We don't have any tears going on up here.
Love hearing it.
So, we always appreciate it, man. Look, not too long till the regular season starts.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll catch up with you soon.
Looking forward to it. Have a great morning, guys. See ya.
That is Eric Edholm there from the NFL website. Make sure you check out his stuff there. When we get back, how about let's hear a little bit from what's going around, not just Falcons camp, but the National Football League as well. We'll do that when we get back. A little sound check coming up to close out the 8 o'clock hour. It's Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you till 10 o'clock on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Do-do-do-do. Oren, do you associate this song with Space Jam?
Yeah, and Seal.
Yeah, me
it's
too.
Tough not to.
I know, right? It just
it's a
taken
pretty
over.
Good rendition,
yeah.
Yeah,
I
mean,
and
it's remake.
Of culturally and, you know, God, that movie was, what, 25 years ago?
1996.
Wow.
Almost 30 years ago,
wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But, yeah, I always think about the other version of this song. It's so funny. Braves are hanging on, 1-0, bottom of the sixth. It's thunderstorming here in Midtown, but I guess it must be dry at the ballpark because they have not stopped play yet. So we'll keep an eye on that one for you. There's a ton going on in the NFL and with the Falcons, so I wanted to give you a little sound check of all the headlines going on. Let's start here locally in the A. Zach Robinson did speak this week, and he was asked why the team is comfortable with QB1 not playing in the preseason.
Yeah, I think when you look around the league, it seems like it's pretty split, you know, 50-50 in terms of guys that the teams that want to play their guys versus not. That's obviously the decision that we've made here to let those guys just get all their work in, you know, practice, which, like I mentioned, I think 2 weeks ago, we're getting a lot better looks and work versus our defense in practice as opposed to some of these preseason looks that you get versus kind of vanilla looks.
Yeah, and I wonder if today's news about Caleb McCary makes them have a blank eating grin on their face about, see, we told you these guys didn't need to play in the preseason. Look what happened. All right. Zach Robinson was also talking about Bijan Robinson's workload and how that's going to change year over year.
First year in a system, wanted to make sure, hey, you know, running back, obviously we were able to get him the ball, you know, out on the perimeter and in the pass game a decent amount. But, yeah, that first year was the goal. Like, hey, let's let, be running back, do his things, from that standpoint. And then from there, it's just kind of taken off.
And hopefully, if Caleb McCary does need to miss time, that will not impact Bijan Robinson's ability to run the rock.
Does it worry you that we haven't heard anything yet?
Yes. Yep. Sure does. Because if it was good news, Oren,
they would have told it like
they just would have put it out there. And the fact that it hasn't only makes me think that they're writing just this press
preparing
release.
Preparing the worst for
preparing
us.
Preparing and also trying to formulate a backup plan. Literally and figuratively.
So when they drop the bad news on us. But hey guys, hey. We have this now.
Yeah,
so.
Either we're gonna try out Bergeron or we're gonna sign this guy or we're gonna give Brandon Parker a shot and yada yada yada. Whatever happens this year and this season, I think hinges on a lot of how much Caleb McGarry is gonna be in there or not. Because the replacement level guy, y'all, I'm just being brutally honest, he may be fine, but he's not going to be as good as Caleb McGarry. Otherwise, he'd be on a squad right now or in a starting lineup somewhere. There's a reason the guys that are going to be coming in, if they need to, are going to be backup type guys. A.J. Terrell also spoke this week, and he talked about not playing in the preseason as well because he's a vet.
I think the main thing about it is you putting yourself in that game mentality mindset and really just going out there to execute at a high level and play as if you were, take every rep as if it was a game day rep. And it took me a minute to get in that mode as far as not this year, but like years prior not playing. And then that first time playing be a shock to your body because you didn't really push through for camp. But now me knowing what I know now, these reps is really important, leading up to it, just because your first adrenaline rush will be on, week one against Tampa, but at the same time, you got to push yourself and practice for that, though.
So is he saying he wanted the work in preseason or he is okay with it? I didn't quite understand the total message from that cut from AJ, but I think at the end of the day, he's saying, it's all good. I'll be ready to go week one, which is really all that matters. Zach Harrison also spoke, the big defensive lineman. He's going to be an important cog this season, and he was asked about the growth of QB1.
I feel like he's really taking control of the offense and the team. He's, guys know Mike's out there, all right, that's Mike. Like, we're going out there, he's going out there to make plays, And I trust him, I think our team trusts him. The tangibles is what they are. Mike's a great quarterback, can put the ball anywhere. But, the intangible, I feel like he's taking the next step on, really being a leader. He's not too outspoken, but when he speaks, people listen.
Yeah, and that's what's most important about his development this year is being able to steady the ship, which is why I think you make the argument maybe they could have used a little bit of work in the preseason. The things we've talked about, dealing with timeouts, clock management, crowd noise, all those things that you can't fully replicate unless you're in an actual game. Harrison was also asked about his two new rookie teammates, Jalen Walker and JPJ.
Yeah, they're good, bro. They're good players. I feel like they're going to help us a lot this year. Both of them, they're different. Walk's a little stronger, a little more stout. James is a little fluid. I'm not saying James is not strong, but they just have different play styles, different body styles, and I feel like both of them can really help us win games this year and get after that passer.
They better. Oh, what's my line? They better. Because they're going to need it, essentially. And Harrison should play. I think this is his third year now coming in. He needs to be a big part of it as well. Some other headlines as we're doing an NFL soundcheck on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, going over all of the headlines in the league. Anthony Richardson, man, he spoke out about losing the Colts' starting job to Daniel Jones.
You got to respect the decision. I feel like he's a better fit for the team, better fit for the outcome of us winning. So you just got to respect it and just keep working. That doesn't undermine any other work I've been putting in. Doesn't say that I haven't improved. I'm proud of the improvement I've made. Shane is also proud of that. So We got to keep stacking on that. Just keep getting better.
You think another team takes a chance on him, O?
As a tough.
As a developmental project, sort of?
It's just he's so raw. And it's not just from a professional standpoint, a collegiate standpoint. I mean, the guy just – you only
have – start, like 12 games or something like that in college?
Yeah. You only have a certain amount of time, I think, in the NFL to be considered developmental. And I get that some guys, it clicked later. Baker Mayfield, it clicked a little bit later for him. Just there's stories about that when it happens in the NFL. But those guys also, too, had a much bigger body of work previously than Anthony Richardson has. It just – the problem I think teams are going to look at with Anthony, where do we start?
Yeah. Well, he needs to start on the bench where he needs to start.
That way you start. But where do we start with the buildup and the remake of Anthony? Is it head? Is it feet? Is it arm? Where do we start?
I think it's all of it. I don't think any part of him, other than his sheer physical size, is NFL ready. He can't make accurate decisions. He doesn't know when to use his size and when to just be reckless. He's just reckless out there with his body sometimes. So I think he has a lot to work on. Shane Steichen, the coach, said, hey, listen, with Daniel Jones, he's our guy.
Daniel Jones will be our starting quarterback this season. You know, I don't want to have a quick leash on that. I feel confident in his abilities.
Okay, coach. Short and sweet. God, how bad is it when you need to name Daniel Jones your starting quarterback?
You went out and got Daniel Jones. Like, it wasn't a thing that Daniel just sort of showed up. You got him because you thought that, hey, we may need him. You went out and got it because you thought you may need him.
Wow. It's not good. Steichen was also saying, oh, the cliche, Anthony Richardson is still one play away.
AR was great. He knows that he still needs to develop and learn, and he knows that he's one play away.
I mean, this guy, you can tell his cheeks are tight and clenched. This guy is on the hottest of hot seats right now.
And you got Daniel Jones as the guy.
Daniel Jones is your savior.
Who you expect to win you – if he wins 9 games this year
– 9?
No, if Steichen wins 9 and finds a way to finagle a wild card berth
– 9?
I think maybe. But anything short of a winning record and a playoff berth – it's a wrap.
Oh, where does that sound familiar?
I think, too, what's funny is that people are assuming that a GM and a head coach who are both on the hot seat are purposely tanking for a quarterback who might not come out of the draft this year. They don't care about Arch Manning.
No,
you don't
they
care
can't.
Anything
yeah.
about you can't care.
You can't care about that.
You physically cannot care about that guy because it doesn't matter. It's about what you're doing right now.
And their division is awful, and they're probably still going to finish last. So that goes to show you. How about in New Orleans? What's going on there, man? They will not name a starting quarterback, Kellen Moore.
Oh, it's close. We look at every aspect of this quarterback situation, and so it's really, really close. Numbers, experiences, reps, everything. It's going all the way back to start of training camp. Everything is very, very close between this group, and so we'll see how it all plays out.
Tyler Shuck and Spencer Rattler. Wow. That's right, Carl. You're 100% right, my guy. That's right. Wow. Man, we got our own problems, but geez, is that bad. you're right. Speaking of bad, how about Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland naming Joe Flacco the starter?
Yeah, you know, all along been evaluating our guys, and I thought Joe has performed really well in camp and going back to the off-season program. I thought he's done exactly what we've asked him to do, and I think we have a lot of confidence in him.
Okay. I mean, those coaches sound so defeated after naming these starting quarterbacks. It's really unbelievable. They just sound absolutely dejected. It's kind of awful. A couple of more here. Joe Flacco himself speaking on, hey, I'm in my 40s, but I can still do this thing.
It's always one of those things that, like, I think as a football player, you just want to play. But I think you got to give a lot of credit to, obviously, Tom for anybody even thinking about doing it. Obviously, there was guys before. You have, you know, Warren Moon, and I talked about it a couple weeks ago, Vinny Testaverde and other guys that have done it. But, I mean, he pushed the boundaries like he did in absolutely everything. No, you know, no no surprise that he did it in that way as well. But, you know, it's, I don't think it's necessarily something that I actively think about until people kind of remind me with texts and things like that, and you guys ask me about it. I don't think it's a huge deal right now, but I'm sure when I look back on it, it'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, listen, do I think he's going to be great this year? No, because Cleveland's going to be awful, but good for him. How about Micah Parsons? We had Bobby Belt on from 105.3 The Fan earlier in the show, but Adam Schefter says Parsons and Jerry doesn't look good.
You can't get a deal done if you're not even talking. And the two sides haven't had any negotiations since late March or early April. And it sounds like at this point it's personal. It sounds like each side is dug in. The Cowboys have come out and said what they said publicly at the start of training camp, which Micah didn't like. Micah came out and asked to be traded, said he was ready to move on from Dallas, which I'm sure they didn't like. And right now, both sides seem to be angry. Now, have other people put those feelings aside in the past and figured out a way to work out a deal? Yeah. I don't see that happening here. I see these two sides headed towards a divorce in time. The only question is, when is that divorce going to happen and how is it going to happen? Are they going to trade him now? Are they going to trade him after this year? Are they going to move on when? But it certainly doesn't feel like these two sides want to enter a long-term relationship together.
All right. Well, Troy Aikman, Cowboys legend, says if that happens, Shefty, their defense is going to be screwed.
Without Micah Parsons, I just don't think they're going to be able to slow anybody down. I mean, he's a total game wrecker, and he's proven that, and he's certainly worth every penny that he's ultimately going to get paid. The longer it goes, the more money he's going to make, so I wouldn't stress too much if I was him.
I don't know if it'll be from Jerry, though. It doesn't sound like it right now. Wrapping up our NFL soundcheck here on Chris Thomas Tonight. Turtle with you till 10. Aaron Glenn on the critics saying Justin Fields can't throw.
Obviously, it's very much a passing league. Is there any concern about your ability to go downfield and whatnot?
Who says it's a passing league?
Isn't it a passing league? Isn't that kind of...
The team that won the Super Bowl, what were they in passing? 29th.
Yeah.
What were they in running? First.
Defense, too, obviously. But...
Well, we talked about offense. And then everything is falling down because we throw six passes. You know, then, I mean, he's Johnny Unitas when we throw four passes, you know, so it bothers me and I laugh at it quite a bit. But the thing is, I understand it because that's the noise that happens on the outside. That's how guys can't really listen to.
Yeah. Unfortunately, at the end of the day, I just don't think Justin Fields is great and I just don't think he ever will be. And the Jets will find that out this season. All right, that is the latest from around the NFL and a sound check. Coming up next to lead off the 9 o'clock hour. I see what you did there, O. Yeah, this is the one right here. How about we spin the wheel? Been a while. Let's check in on the teams. Stock up, stock down. NFL edition. Which teams are hot? Which teams are you worried about? If the Falcons come up on this wheel, what are we going to say? Oh, boy. We'll talk about that next.